Is keep the ordinary your guide to travel the world before your 30s?
Hello everyone, I'm Dora Mezur from the ASU Pesti Egyetemi Radio, or in English, First University Radio of the City of Pest. You are listening to Escape the Ordinary. Sending organizations are key elements of every European Solidarity Corps project. Without one, you cannot even participate. Also, these organizations could not only provide us possibilities in ESC projects, but can give us opportunities to participate in youth exchanges with Erasmus even after university, or be part of local solidarity projects. My guest, Sandra Varju, is one of the founder, volunteer coordinator, and project coordinator of Youth Bridges Budapest. Youth Bridges Budapest and Sandra herself helped me a lot as my Hungarian sending organization during my volunteering project in Turkey. So in this episode, Sandra will explain how sending organizations can help different types of persons before, during, and after projects. But most importantly, what are the obligations of the participant toward the sending organization, if there's any?
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Dora. Hi, everyone. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. So, Sandra, you are working for the Youth Bridges Budapest. It's a Hungarian supporting organization. Can you tell us more about this organization? Because if we search about it, I'm not sure if everyone finds a lot of information.
So, Youth Bridges Budapest, our organization was founded at the end of 2018. Right after me and my volunteer partner arrived back from Turkey from our term volunteer project. And we felt that we would like to do something similar in Hungary. So we invited our third member and we sit together and brainstorm what we can do. So we established Youth Bridges Budapest. It was registered March of 2019. And our main aim was to provide this kind of mobility projects, international mobility projects, Erasmus Pass and European Solidarity Corps for other young people from Hungary. But then in the last 3.5 years, our activities expanded. So now we are doing also local activities and strategic partnerships, research and development in international youth work field.
So you are only sending organization and not a hosting?
Yes, exactly. In terms of European Solidarity Corps, we are only sending or supporting organization. We don't host volunteers in Budapest.
You have completed your first sending activity in 2019. That's a long time ago. So how did you prepare for that? What was your sending activities and did it change with time? Are you more prepared now than before?
So as I mentioned that we established our organization March of 2019 and we started with the Erasmus Plus activities like UC changes and training courses right after the establishment. So we completed, as you said, our first sending activity in the autumn of 2019. We sent some young people for a training course to Spain, then Greece. Then we also had our own project organized in Georgia. And how we changed in the sending activity, I must say that not really, because we also had our own experiences working with other NGOs before. So we knew how to cooperate with our organization in Erasmus Plus field. From the beginning, we are very systematic in terms of selection, in terms of information flow and cooperating with the partners, preparing the participants, follow-up activities. So from the beginning, we are very conscious and systematic. With that, so we didn't really change, but we have an enormous amount of mobility projects to send now.
So if I understand it well, you were part of these projects before and you got so fond of it that you created your own organization. So why only become a sending organization?
In this international youth work, we can divide the activities for the Erasmus Plus field and the European Solidarity Corps. When we are speaking about international volunteering, is the European Solidarity Corps, where we have only the supporting roles, so we are only sending Hungarian youngsters. But when we are speaking of the Erasmus Plus mobilities, youth exchanges training courses, we are also sending young people from other countries for these short-term mobilities, like from 7 days to 21 days, but we are also hosting and coordinating these kind of mobilities. Your question is why we send only participants in the volunteering project. We operate online. Mainly our activities are online and we don't have really the human resource to coordinate volunteers in Budapest, hosting volunteers in Budapest. Now, of course, for the future, we want to also host volunteers, but now we are focusing more to send Hungarians to abroad.
So you said there are two types of programs you have the youngsters in. It's Erasmus Plus and European Solidarity Corps. Now, what's the difference between these two kind of opportunities?
When we are speaking of the European mobility programs for young people, no, we are speaking about Erasmus Plus and ESC, but back then it was one program called Youth in Action, like 20 years ago. Then 15 years ago, it was called Erasmus and it was called European Voluntary Service. So by the time the European Commission always changing the program, always changing the budget. And now we are speaking about these two. Why is like that? Why isn't that one? Because the European Voluntary Service, it's running more than 30 years. And it was one of the most successful mobility program for young Europeans. With the years, the European Commission decided to put more grant, more support for these mobility programs, the volunteering. So now from 2019, it's called European Solidarity Corps. But 5 years ago, it was called European Voluntary Service, and it was under Erasmus, so it's quite complicated. So it was a development within programs. So now in the Erasmus Plus also we have different kind of field, like vocational education, university exchanges, youth field, adult education or sport field. So Erasmus Plus is a huge category including many different kind of programs, and then we have this ESC, this Solidarity Corps, including the volunteering and some local activities.
So Erasmus, I think everyone only thinks about the university exchanges or maybe some internships during university, but are there possibilities after university, even way after university?
Yes, there are. For example, our organization is operating in the Erasmus Plus youth field. We are organizing youth exchanges and training courses, and we are sending participants for this kind of short mobilities. These mobilities, youth exchanges, for example, opened for people from 13, actually, until 30 years old. And the training courses without age limit, but mainly targeting youth workers or young people active in the youth field. There are plenty of opportunities after the university with this short mobilities, or also there are other initiatives, for example, one called Erasmus for Young Entrepreneurs, targeting people who want to establish their own companies or they established already. There are opportunities for maximum of 6 months of deployment in other countries with another experienced entrepreneur, and so on, so on. Actually, there are plenty of opportunities.
So if you want to take them, we have to contact you, I guess, and start the preparation.
We are not the only organization operating this field, but yes, that you can start with us.
How do you decide who will you help in these projects? Is there any people who say, sorry, we do not accept your application to your organization and we don't help you for some reason, or you help every youngster who turns to you?
When we are sending for Erasmus Plus short mobility project, we have application process. We are launching the info pack with all the information and the application form, and we have some criteria to decide who are the selected participants. We always try to give opportunities for newcomers, for youngsters with fewer opportunities, and youngsters from not only Budapest. We would like to include more people from countryside, but we have our selection process and application process. In terms of European Solidarity Corps, the volunteering project, most of the time the hosting organizations are deciding, so we just collecting the applications, the candidates, and we are forwarding them the applications. That sometimes they ask our opinions or they ask us to carry out the selection, but then it's normally we would like to have everyone to find their project in the volunteering. In the mobility, it's working a little bit different in the Erasmus Plus, but in the volunteering, we always try to help everyone.
You first started to help youngsters in this Erasmus Plus mobility program, and if I know it well, you get your accreditation for ESC at the January of 2020. Why did you decide to get this accreditation and be part of the European Solidarity Corps too?
From the very first moment when we established our organization, we aimed to get into the European Solidarity Corps volunteering activity simply because we were old volunteers, we were ex-volunteers, and we were dedicated and engaged for volunteering activities. Personally, me was also working as a project coordinator, volunteer coordinator in Turkey, and hosted volunteers there. So I had my experience in the project cycle. It was not a question for us to get this credit label. Organizations who would like to operate in the European Solidarity Corps needs to obliged to have this quality label. Currently, there are three different kind of roles. One of the hosting or receiving role, the other one is the supporting or sending, and the third one is the coordinating role, who will manage the project itself as financially, administratively, and coordinate between the other parties. So we decided only to have the supporting role because that basically what I mentioned, that we are operating online, so we wanted to give the opportunities to the Hungarian youngsters to go abroad.
Every sending organization works online, or it's only your specialty?
Yes, it's our specialty. Many of the Hungarian organizations, experienced one, old, very well-established organizations operating in local level as well. They have expanded local activities, having offices. Yes, we are like now 3.5 years, so we work online. But in the near future, we would like to have offices as well.
So you feel the need for having not only online activities?
For sure. And we are growing. Also, our human capacities are growing. Now we are 4 members working in the organization. So we need the space to gather to have meetings.
You said before that you were a volunteer coordinator in abroad too. How you become a coordinator abroad, and what did you learn from there, and what you include from that experience in your own organization?
How I became a volunteer coordinator is always a nice story, you know. I was a volunteer coordinator in Antalya, Turkey, and first I arrived there as an Erasmus for young entrepreneur. So I was deployed by a host entrepreneur, an experienced one. And after a while, I just got this task because my coworker resigned from his job. So there was an unfilled position. So my host entrepreneur told, I'm good for that. And, you know, it just happened from one day to another that we had new volunteers also for a Karate project. It was not immersive, it was Antalya. We had a Karate project. It was a very problematic group, actually. Everyone was new and they arrived there with many expectations. And then my boss told, okay, Sana, so from now on, you are the project coordinator. Buyurun, come on, like, you know, and well, you are taking over the meeting. And then, okay, so I became the project coordinator in that moment. So it was challenging first. It was really, really painful first because I had like 6-7 volunteers, very unsatisfied because they wasn't prepared the conditions, they wasn't prepared the project, they were complaining a lot. So I need to feel every complaint, every moment. So I had many challenges. But then with the next group, I got experience and they were really, really great. So I think that I also contributed to my host organization because I contributed with some kind of systematic approach. Then with the new project, with the new volunteers, we created very good activities. We created very good evaluation system because they were the second group hosted by that organization. So what I took out from this experience, even though we are not a hosting organization, but I got my lessons, that I got my experience how to communicate with people. And you know that when I'm sending someone to abroad, I really know how they will feel because I had in Antalya, maybe in 1.5 years, I had maybe 30 volunteers to work with. I tried to prepare them, but they will have that. It definitely helps for me.
So we are at the very beginning. Should we first find a project, I mean a hosting organization, or should we contact you first?
That's a very good question, that how to find a project. There are many different kind of channels to find a project, that many Hungarian sending organizations promoting their places on their Facebook page or website or Facebook group, or there is this European Solidarity Co-op database where the hosting organizations promoting their project. I always suggest to all the candidates or all the potential future volunteers to register this website in the European Solidarity Co-op database to have access to these deployments. And then, yes, to choose one of the sympathetic Hungarian supporting organizations and contact with them and ask if they have any potential vacancies. But it happens that sometimes that they don't have. But you find yourself a project in the Facebook or the database, or sometimes an interested volunteer I'm in connection with, but I see a good project for her or him in another Hungarian sending organization face. I just forward, I just share. So I think that it's a good start as a first step to register in the database in the ESC website and then contact with the sympathetic sending organization. but also monitor the other organizations' Facebook. And it's good if you have your own selected organization, but sometimes it's possible that you will be not attended by them. There are many supporting organizations in Hungary. There are young ones like us or experienced ones after 15, 20 years of activities in Hungary. When you are choosing a sending organization, I think it's important to choose someone who you feel a sympathy, who you can engage with their mission, with profile, with their online or offline activities, and having a good human relationship, because maybe you will not work a lot with the sending organization, but still you will be in touch. And probably it's the beginning of a long-term friendship, who knows? But of course, the main thing is not the sending organization, but the project you are going, if your selected sending organization cannot provide your dream project, but another Hungarian sending organization can do so. Maybe it's also possible to switch. So I always try to focus on the needs of the volunteers or the candidates. So I always try to connect them with other projects as well.
That's very nice of you. I guess that after deciding this project, start the preparation. So normally, how many meetings do you have before these trips? As the listeners already know from previous episodes, my application to ESC was very last minute, so I only had one. And I'm interested in if I had the normal process to apply for ESC. How many meetings do you do with the applicants?
It depends. One is the minimum, you know. Sometimes I have three. It depends, because some of the youngsters come to us that I would like to have a volunteering project. Please help me to find. So then we have a meeting to get to know each other, to introduce to each other. He or she will tell us her story, where he or she wants to go, what is their expectations and plans for the volunteering. And then we find the project, then applying, and then we try the preparation. So sometimes we have three meetings, but I always keep the communication by text messages, by email, because not that I know that everyone has different kind of needs, and I would like to be flexible and feeling that needs.
How do you prepare future volunteers in these meetings? Because I remember mine was like basic talking about how is life abroad, because I already had some experience abroad, so I didn't need a deep preparation. But what if someone has no clue about anything about this project and you need a very full, deep preparation for him or her? How do you prepare them?
Now we are talking that if someone is selected already, because obviously if someone is not selected yet, that we are giving some support for the application and selection procedure as well. Like that's when you are selected happily. Then the preparation is consisting some logistical arrangements. So we have to select the ticket and buy purchase tickets. Some youngsters who never went abroad, don't have so much experience. Sometimes we have to all the procedure tickets. Someone is going to non-EU country and need a visa, for example, Turkey. If you go to a long-term project, you need a visa as well. So we supporting the visa obtaining procedure. So there are many logistical arrangements to be done, insurance, et cetera, et cetera. The more interesting part is the preparation itself. I prefer to support this process with digital tools, because I think that it's not so entertaining to talk for one day about how will be, what will be. But I always share with the volunteers some digital tools, online trainings, materials. There is a very good online training, general online training in the European Solidarity Corps portal, or another one developed by organizations with digital storytellings. And then we have this one or two times online or offline meeting when we are talking about the different aspects of the project, how will be, what will be, how is in abroad, cultural shock, how is to living together with other people, how will be your timetable, what is your rights as a volunteer, what is your responsibilities and tasks to deal with challenges in abroad. Again, cultural problems can be, especially if you go to non-EU country, about the project itself. Of course, as a sending organization, I don't have a specific overview about the timetable or what kind of work the volunteer will do, but we always go over the possible project activities. I always encourage the volunteers to come up with their own ideas, their own personal projects to contribute it. I always emphasize how important the learning development is, kind of personal development phase, and the possible outcomes. We always go over the the activity agreement, if there are any questionable part, because it's really important to go there to understand that the volunteer is a part of a European project with own rights. So you are not just a work aware, or you are not just a helper to go there, but you are a part of a big program and there are many supporting mechanisms behind you. And of course, I'm always tailoring these meetings for the needs of the volunteers, that if someone never went to abroad, we are always speaking about how to get to the venue, like very, very detailed, how to go to the airport. So this kind of little things, it always helps, I think. But some people are more experienced, and so we are just speaking about generally and have introduction talk. Always it depends if you go to a long-term project or a short-term one. The topic can vary based on the project venue and the duration and the topic.
Let's say we are over this. We already went abroad and be part of the project. I remember when I was in Turkey, we sometimes had some text messages in Messenger or in email. But how is it different when it is a long project? Because mine was a short one. I guess I didn't need it that much text. But is it very when someone is in a long project?
Some of the organizations, supporting organizations, and midterm evaluation survey for the volunteers. I believe more in personal connection than surveys. So I always try to create safe space with the volunteers. So I try to make this kind of good communication or maintain this good communication, and that the volunteers really feel that they can turn with any problem to me if they have with their hosting organization. So I don't send surveys, but time to time I check on the volunteers. How are you? How is going? Sometimes the hosting organization updates me. So I follow the social media channels of the hosting organization. So I try to be up to date what's going on. Some of the volunteers contacted me when they were not satisfied with their activities or with their schedule. I contacted with their hosting organization. We had the meeting, so we sorted out this kind of problem. Happily, we didn't counter with very serious problems with any volunteers or organizations, but we try to support.
What happens if the volunteers have a problem and contact you? How can you help them? They are abroad and you are at home in Hungary.
In case of emergency situation, of course, the first reference is the hosting organization. But I always collect the emergency contact from Hungary. If there is any emergency issue, I can contact the families. It happened also that one volunteer had health emergency, health problem, but fortunately didn't happen that much, this kind of problems.
And what if the hosting organization have a problem with your volunteer? Do they include you in the process?
Some do. They give us some feedback if the volunteer is not performing or not enough motivated, or there is misunderstanding or different kind of expectations. So I contact the volunteers and we have a meeting and I try to connect the two sides and then we can sort it out.
Were there any very extreme cases when your volunteers were sent back home from the project?
It didn't happen because the hosting organizations always try to keep the volunteers. It did happen that the volunteer wasn't satisfied, so the volunteer left the project earlier. It can happen. But the hosting organizations really go till the end to keep the volunteer there.
If you are talking about this person who left the project early, is there any counterbacks for your organization because of this?
That we don't, because hosting organization oversee the finances in most of the cases. So we don't have so much losses, but we can replace the volunteer by another one. It happens sometimes, yes.
So if this volunteer leaves early, does that mean that you totally break the connection with him in the mean that you don't help him anymore in other projects?
Of course not. It doesn't. Because I see that everyone who leaves the project, they have their own causes. You know, it can be personal, it can be health problem, it can be anything. It happens. It just, you know, that when a volunteer leaves a project, the volunteer should be aware that if it was a long-term project, more than 2 months, he or she doesn't have another chance to go to a long-term project in most of the cases. But from our side, there are no any sanctions because that we are humans, it happens that it doesn't work out.
So let's say everything was total fine, like in my case. What is the aftermath? Because I remember you only asked me to send you some pictures, write some nice posts, but is there any kind of obligation for the participants towards your organization? obligation before, during, and after these projects?
I won't call it obligation. As a supporting organization, we give the support in terms of preparation and the follow-up activities. The follow-up activities are including this kind of welcome home meeting, let's say, when we are summarizing project. How was it? What was the good ones? What was the best side? What the volunteer learned? What is takeaway? Give us some feedback about the hosting organization. And some volunteers, especially at long-term program, after maybe 10 months and 12 months, they need a little bit of more support. We call it the integration process, you know, when you arrive back home and you have, again, a cultural shock because you were in a totally different country for 10, 12 months and now you go back and your own environment, it's like a foreign country. Everything is so strange because you had your environment for 10, 12 months in a totally other country. You had your volunteer friends, you had your own routine, you went to the office every day, you had the world, and you go home and then nothing changed, but it changed. Very difficult to go back.
I can really relate to that.
But look, that you were 2 months.
Not because of Turkey. I can really relate to that because I spent half year in Greece as an Erasmus student. And after it was such an experience. And, you know, I come back home and I had to get back to my normal life. And it was so strange. And, you know, I told my friend how was the life in Greece and everything. And they said, yeah, and I understand. And I said, no, you don't. You don't understand it until you go on an Erasmus or an ESC or a program like that. You cannot. And I remember I had a friend who told me exactly that, yeah, she understands everything. And then because of me, she went to an Erasmus project, and after she got back home, she came to me and she said, Dora, you were right, I didn't understand. And I said, yes.
I always have this, that when I come home from a bigger travel, even not even to live in another country, and I always think about that place, and I try to speak with my family about that and my friends, but they are so passive about that, so I really don't find myself here. And I think that after volunteering, when 10, 12 months you are in another country, it's really like this feeling that you are a bit lost.
I think so, who starts to go to this project really have part of their heart abroad, always somewhere exactly, in the world.
Exactly. So how we can help with this process? Of course, we can just, you know, give a little bit of overview that I call it EVS afterlife, that what kind of other opportunities are existing in the international mobilities, or what kind of local activities, local volunteering the volunteer can do after arriving home. It's the part of what you mentioned also, the dissemination activities, summarizing the experiences in an article or a photo report or something, but mostly if someone needed, also providing new opportunities locally or internationally.
If we talk about new opportunities, it's very important that we didn't talk about yet, that we're helping youngsters in solidarity projects. Can you tell us more about that? Because personally, I never heard about it before you mentioned it to me after my mobility. And now I looked after the topic, but I don't think any of my friends know anything about this solidarity project. If I understand it well, it's a minimum 5 people who has to organize project from 2 months to 12 months. How is it working? How do we prepare them? And what kind of projects should we prepare for it?
It's an amazing program. Personally, I really love it. It doesn't have an international dimension because it's a local activity, it's a national dimension. But I love it because with this one, it's really the participating youngsters can really develop their active citizenship, their participation in the democratic life, in the local level or national one. And also with this one, the money goes where it really needs to go. It can create some tangible things, not only intangible ones. So what is about? As you mentioned, 5 young people with the age between 18 and 30 create a group and come up with an idea what they want to change in the local level. Sometimes the local level, local community, we can define as a national one, for example, with the raising awareness activity or campaign or some kind of digital activity. It can be a little bit bigger community than the local level, but also it can create tangible things that we want to repaint the local school, or we want to reform the food in the local school canteen, or we want to create workshop for sustainability for high school students or for university students. It can be a lot of different kind of ideas, but the main issue that it should come from these young people. And as you mentioned, the project can be from 2 months until 12 months, and the grant attached to this activity is €500 per month. So it maximum 6,000 can go to a project. There is an application form to fill in, and after a couple of months, the result is launched and the project is on. And how we support this? Each of these young people should have a supporting organization or a background organization who are supporting them financially and administratively. We support a 3 group of young people in the solidarity project. Basically, the idea is coming from the young people, and we only support them with the grant proposal writing, the administrative procedures, the financial procedures, supporting them in the project management and how to allocate the tasks between them, how to go over with the project in these 12 months, for example, having a preparation phase, having the main activities, and having a follow-up and monitoring and evaluation phase, and then how to prepare a report. I really love these initiatives because it's really help for young people. So if you have an idea, I think that you just need to connect one of the organizations in Hungary, for example, us, and we can support. There are 2 deadlines each year for these proposals. I think one of them is, the other one is February.
You said it gives you a €500 grant per month, but is it like €500 per group or per person?
Per project, per group.
So it's divided between the 5 person.
This grant is mainly not for the personal cost, but it's a unit cost. It means that you will make all the projects from this budget, that all the materials, everything you need to manage from that amount.
Yes, of course. We already talked about these solidarity projects, Erasmus Plus, European Solidarity Corps, but how can we find you? Because I found you through Seyhan, if I remember well. He connected us, but if someone wants to connect your organization or maybe even you, how can we find you?
Facebook, Instagram, website. We don't have a TikTok. I'm sorry. We are Youth Bridges Budapest. So in the Facebook, you can find us as a Youth Bridges Budapest. As a website, www.youthbridgesbudapest.org.
And what if we want to be part of your organization, but maybe not as a volunteer, but we get inspired of your work and we want to be one of the coordinators? Is there a possibility to apply for your organization?
Currently, we are working on a new initiative to having local volunteers to work with, because we always have a tons of work, but we don't have enough human resource. And also we would like to give opportunity for the young people to have their own initiatives under our umbrella or completing their ideas. We are launching this new volunteer initiative as a local volunteer. And after becoming a local volunteer or associate, we get to know each other. And then after a while, probably we can work together in the future.
We talked a lot about the job of the sending organization, especially your job as a coordinator. So what do you recommend for the future candidates? Who should apply to this project? What can they offer you? These kind of suggestions and best tips that you can give to them.
From my own experience, I can recommend not wait. I was 27 years old when I started my Erasmus Plus pathway, and it was quite late. So I missed a lot of opportunities because of that. So don't afraid because of your English level. Don't afraid that, oh, you will be far off your country. Don't afraid to go out from your comfort zone, even if it's a cliche, but really don't afraid of that. So just jump into things and you will have amazing opportunities. If you don't want to start with volunteering, you can start with short mobility projects. You can get to know the international dimensions of the youth work and international mobility projects, and then start to look for a project. Everyone says that look for the topic, not the venue. I leave it with you, the decision, because I also think that if you are in another country that you don't enjoy yourself, you cannot enjoy your work as well. So be conscious when you decide about the volunteering. Keep in mind that you have only one long-term opportunity, so don't waste that one. And then when you go to volunteering, that be open-minded. Don't go with too many expectations, because it can win everything if the reality versus expectation is not really matching to each other. But then try to make the most of it. But also don't afraid that if you have challenges, don't afraid about boring days, because you will have some, but be conscious and open your eyes. Travel.
Don't be afraid. Your supporting organization is there for you.
Exactly. It's a bit of promotion and marketing. But yes, we will be there for you.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Thank you, Dora.
Thanks for listening. If you still doubt yourself whether you should participate in a European Solidarity Course project or not, listen to our next episode where former volunteers from multiple projects will tell you their experiences. You listen to Escape the Ordinary. I was Dora Mezu. See you next time. Created by Lila Dora Mezu. Brought to you by Első Pesti Egyetemi Radio, First University Radio of the City of Pest. 2022.